Oh my God. What the hell have we done? Oh my God.
Hello and welcome to Pixels in the Animation. This is episode 80. We've got 20 to go before the podcast ends, and it can't come soon enough. Holy hell, what the hell have we gotten ourselves into now, folks? Can we go back to watching Zelda, please? Because, yep. Holy crap! I am, of course, Steve Joe and Mike. Joining me, as always, TV's Mr. Neil.
I'm waiting.
I can't tell what's worse, that or got a juice. I don't even remember if he said that I'm waiting in said AM. I don't think he did.
Nope.
Okay, so we're starting The Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog, the fun series, the comedy series. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Screw you, Deke. That's all I gotta say. Screw you.
It was all right.
Oh, God.
You know, I actually like this better than the other one.
No, we'll get into it, but there are things that I liked, but again, this is not something... When Shout Factory released the complete series of this, I didn't grab it at the time, X number of years ago, things like that. And like I said with the Sat AM series, it has been years since I've seen this cartoon. I knew Jaleel White was back as Sonic. I knew that... The same guy that voices Lana's dad in Captain N plays Dr. Robotnik in this series. I'm sure people are screaming at their iDevices or Androids or whatever, telling me the name. I've got it on a page here in a minute. But anyway, my first problem with this is the animation. At least in the first five or six episodes. The animation on Sonic's feet while he's running is horrible.
Yeah, it's just a blurry O. That's all it is.
Yeah. I would rather see him just do... I would rather see them just do the blue blur that they were doing when he would go supersonic. Mm-hmm. Because actually seeing him run is just, it's like he borrowed Forrest's braces or something. It's just too, it's not the character's fault, but it's the animator's fault where they'll animate part of it and then it does stupid and weird things. Like there are several Sonic poses in this series to this point. We're going to talk about the first five episodes of Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog tonight, but there are certain... ways that the animators show the character that he just looks awful. You know, you mentioned the was it last time? So I think it was you that mentioned somebody in a very uncomfortable place or something or other in a video game or something. I forget what it was.
I don't know.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like being in the back of a Volkswagen or something. I don't know. Oh God. So
you know what?
Go ahead.
It's better than I thought it would be. It's leagues above the Super Show, I'll say that. I figured it had to be a step down from... The animation had to be a step down from Sonic the Hedgehog, the Sat AM series, because you're doing 65 episodes for one season. That's like... that's what you had for afternoon syndication back then, because you had to have 13 weeks of five days a week episodes. So, you know, you had to animate a lot of cartoons very quickly. So I knew it was not going to be very stylistically grand, but you know, it came out better than I thought it would be. And a lot of the corner cutting kind of got obscured by the fact that it's a very abstract looking show. A lot of people I hear talk about the show, they think that like the weird style like was an accident, like, oh, they must have been really lazy and rushed this. No, it has that style on purpose, and it's so that, you know, the rushing that they had to do to make this show doesn't look so bad. It's like everything in this cartoon looks weird and warped, and you know, it almost at times kind of looks like a Jay Ward cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Jay Ward cartoons are probably animated better. it's okay. It's better than I thought it would be, and I definitely think this is a more watchable show than Sad AM.
Yes. And the thing of it is looking back at both series now, since we're going to be going through this entire 65 episodes here, but comparing this to Sad AM, Sad AM is more of, I'm trying to think. It's more of a, if there was ever a really serious Abbott and Costello bit, which there really isn't, whereas this is more of like the Three Stooges.
Yeah, particularly Scratch and Grounder are the fodder for a lot of humor.
Yes,
and I actually did laugh a few times. I'm like, oh my god, I'm laughing at a cartoon for this podcast. and it's not Earthworm Jim.
Yeah, Scratch and Grounder are awesome. I often wonder what it would have been like if Robotnik, if that final lever was not in the very first episode, if that final lever was not pulled and we got Grounder, what color combination would a copycat Scratch be? Because that's originally what he wanted to do, right?
That's just a joke, so they explain why Grounder is like such an idiot.
Yeah, there is an unaired pilot which I did not see. I don't know if it's anywhere.
Well, yeah, I did send you a link to it, but
that's right.
I watched a couple minutes of it, and I was like, you know what, this isn't really worth covering because it's not a real episode. It's like a couple minutes of cartoon, and I think it even has a Sonic Says segment, which is kind of weird.
Yeah, looking before you cross the street is the Sonic Says segment for this one.
Yeah, it's basically what they used to do with He-Man, which is that they would somehow take a message out of the cartoon that they just showed, even though it really doesn't have anything to do with the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Or Sailor Moon Says, which was around the same time they were dubbing Sailor Moon, so they had to throw in Sailor Moon Says.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad a lot of cartoons nowadays don't have PSAs. They probably need them, but I'm...
No, now they just put the PSAs in the cartoons. Haven't you seen...
That's...
What's that one on... the one with the fat kid who's... I don't know, but it's...
Steven Universe?
Steven Universe. Yeah, I don't even want to watch that garbage. It's just social commentary the whole way through.
Oh my god. So this cartoon happened in 93, 94, 2 years before Gary Chalk and Ian James Corlett would board the Axelon in Beast Wars. Mm-hmm. Gary Chalk was Grounder. He was also Captain Rescue. He was the Dragon Breath and the computer. And Ian James Corlett was Coconuts, the crazy monkey who kind of looks like... Proto-Man, if Proto-Man was a monkey. Anyway, Long John Baldry was the voice of Robotnik in this series. We've got Christopher Stephen Welsh as Miles Tails Prower. And, of course, Urkel as Sonic the Hedgehog. Other cast members include Kathleen Barr as Catella, Mama Robotnik in additional voices, Michael Donovan as Wes Weasley, Terry Clawson, Scott McNeil as Mac Chopper, which we'll get to later down the line. Venus Terzo is Breezy. Oh, Black Arachnia. Okay. Lee Tokar is credited, but it doesn't give him an actual role. It doesn't say what his actual role is. So, a lot of early Beast Wars voice actors in this, which is fine.
Which means it's a Canadian production, basically.
Yeah.
Because with the exception of Urkel.
Yeah. Well, you know, he was everywhere back then, so.
Do this?
Oh, don't we?
We mean too much to each other.
We do?
Yeah, don't you remember how we first met?
Nope.
Well, it all started before you were born. Peels and I had come to this deserted village.
Where is everybody?
We're hiding, and if you have any sense, you'll hide too.
Hiding? What from?
Hey, lady, which way is the bounty hunters' convention? People aren't very friendly in this town. Guess I'll just have to find it myself.
What's a bounty hunters' convention?
A party for bad guys, Tails, and I'm gonna crash it.
I've called you all together because you're the worst assortment of low-life mercenaries I ever made. You're mean. You're malicious. You're my kind of rotten. Ever since I launched my genius plan to conquer the planet Mobius, one troublemaking teenager has made me tear every hair from my beautiful head. You took the words right out of my mouth. I hate that hedgehog.
All right, getting into it. Super special Sonic Search and Smash Squad, really? Come on now. That's a long-ass title. Even for me, that I come up with some long titles for stuff, but that's a long-ass title.
Yeah, that's silly.
Yeah. When Sonic and Tails are captured by Grounder and Scratch, Sonic tricks them into letting them escape by reminiscing about how they all met. Several Badniks seen early on in the episode later resurface in Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine. The Sonic Says segment was about calling 911 and doing it, properly. Okay, then. This episode is interesting. I'll say this about the show as well. This show uses more game elements than the other show did.
Yep.
The Robotnik egg saucers or whatever the hell they are, they're more like I can look at the flying machines he has in this cartoon and oh yeah, that's something from the game a little bit. The main theme song, it's not a sung theme song like it was in Sad I Am and all that, but it's essentially almost part of the original Sonic the Hedgehog theme music, essentially.
It's very similar, but it is a little different. But it's a good homage, and they throw in some classical bits here and there in there as well.
Yeah. I like it. I think it's interesting. I almost wish we didn't have the sound effects with it. I mean, obviously, yeah, we can get the Sonic theme anywhere anyway, you know, but I'm saying, as watching the cartoon series, I wish that the sound effects were not there.
Yeah, it'd be great to have, like, a clean version of that for the intro.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it sounds weird with all the bonks and clanks that you have no context for when you're listening to this.
Very true. Very true. Grounder might be my favorite character to this.
Oh, he's great.
He's awesome.
I love his eyes because his eyes are just like what do you call those? The needle thing, they're like needle gauges.
Yeah.
And at times it looks like he's looking at something, but at other times because it's so abstract, it's like it's just so weird. He looks kind of wall-eyed. And by the way, when I describe this show as abstract, I don't mean like garbage abstract, like, you know, like in Europe where they'll put garbage on a pedestal and say, oh, that's art. No, this is real abstract. This is like, you know, just weird for weirdness sake. And that's why I love it. It's a great art style. But anyway, the characters.
It reminds me of, oh God, which one is it? Some of the really wacky Daffy cartoons in the beginning. That's what it kind of reminds me of for the animation and how it's kind of sped. The animation is not sped up in this, but you know how Daffy was in his early days. He was yeah, wacky. He was not self-centered and, you know, all about himself.
Yeah, it's like the animation style is kind of like a mix of like really early cartoons like Ben used to compare it to Felix the Cat. I think it looks kind of like middle of the road Warner Brothers, but like obviously toned down. It also kind of reminds me of Stunt Dogs. I don't know if you remember that show.
Yes.
A little bit of Ren and Stimpy, but you know, just the weirdness of Ren and Stimpy, not like
the grossness.
Yeah, not like the eye boogers.
Or the bloodshot eye veins when, you know, you'd go super into the... Oh, my God. John Kay, you are a sick, twisted man. Mm. Oh, Lord. So this episode, I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun and funny. And it gives us, without really giving us an origin, it gives us an origin for how they all met each other. It doesn't give us an origin for Sonic. And really, do we need one? Do we really need an origin for Sonic? If anyone at this point... This was 1993. The original Sonic game was what? 89, 90, or 91? Somewhere around there?
I think it was 90. You know, yeah, it might have been 91.
Okay, well, I'm saying this show came out 2 years after the original game was released. If you didn't know who or what Sonic was by then obviously you never played a Sega game in your life. So I think this first episode does everything very well. I like how they start out and then they cut to the flashback. They're not going back and forth between, you know, do you remember this time? And then they cut to the flashback. It's start the episode. Everybody meets up. Oh, and remember this. And then we cut back into a full flashback scene. And then it, you know, cuts out at the end to...
You think that's bad? Remember the time?
God, no.
Oh, you know what? The one weird thing about this episode is the flashback itself. Because... I don't know, like, the beginning and the end, really, it almost doesn't need to be there, because you could just tell the flashback as if it was just the origin story, because it's the first episode. What are we flashing back for?
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, Sonic, super special Sonic Search and Smash Squad. I did very much enjoy it. I am probably going to give it a 3.5. What about you?
I'll give it a 3.5, too. It's basically a Roadrunner cartoon with, you know, little bits of Three Stooges and other comedy stylings of the era, we'll say.
So, out of the two of them, which is Larry and which is Curly between Scratch and Grounder?
Oh, I don't know. I think they're... I think one of them's Shemp, maybe.
Oh, jeez. I don't know what it is. It's a discussion for another day. I always like Curly more than Shemp. But anyway.
We're surrounded, Sonic. Call 911.
No way, Tails. This is nothing. 911 is for real emergencies. If we call 911 for assistance, someone who really needed help would be in trouble. If there's a fire or someone's trying to break into your home or somebody's been hurt, that's when you call 911. One person's dumb joke could be another person's disaster.
All right, up next we've got Subterranean Sonic. Sonic and Tails escape underground from Scratch and Grounder, but they are held captive there by a miserly mole named Spelunk. The Sonic Says segment was all about sharing, because after all, sharing is caring, right?
Right.
What I like about this one is, and what I will continue to like as long as they continue to do it, is this show actually references game levels, because they reference the Marvel Zone.
Yeah, they do.
And so apparently the chili dogs are still a thing.
Yeah. God damn it. You know that actually got back into the games?
Did it really?
Yeah, Sonic Generations, it opens with them having a picnic and they're eating chili dogs.
Oh my god. Why?
I don't know.
Why? So Grounder's head is supposed to be detachable. Okay, then. I mean, most of Grounder is supposed to be detachable. You look at that guy. He
falls apart a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. What did you think of Subterranean Sonic?
Maybe one of the weaker episodes I've seen so far. It's funny. I mean, it had a couple of good laughs, like when the Turtle family were crossing the minecart track.
Yep.
And Sonic got the idea to use it as like to turn it into like a gate crossing. So he puts the gate down. And remember, the mole is chasing Sonic, but Sonic's disguised as like a crossing guard now, and he's like waving the Turtle family through. Then he raises the gate, and the mole just keeps on going because he forgot that that was Sonic.
Yep.
So I'm like, oh yeah, that. Thank you, cartoon.
The Turtle family kind of reminds me of the bunnies in Disney's Robin Hood a little bit. The little bunny family that's in that kind of reminds me of that a little bit. I was half waiting for them to make a Cecil joke.
Or Speedy.
Yeah. I don't care what anyone says. Tortoise and the Hare is one of the best Bugs Bunny cartoons of all time.
One of Tex Avery's best.
Absolutely. What I also like about Subterranean Sonic is that it gives us a different look to the cartoon. It gives us a different area to explore. I think it's fun. The old miner is always, you know, but animators and animation and cartoons in general over the years, everybody has always had one of the old prospector miner dudes. You know, I mean, hell, even Daffy was a greedy old miner, really. You know, if you look at the one where he and Bugs end up in a cave instead of Pismo Beach and all the clams you can eat.
A sand shop.
You know, as soon as I heard that, as soon as I watched that cartoon and I saw that, I had to record that audio because I love a song.
What's with you anyway? I can't help it. I'm a greedy slob. It's my hobby. Save me!
Hassan Chop! Him go that away.
Just so funny. Anything else on Subterranean Sonic?
Like I said, probably one of the weaker episodes, but it's only because the lesson is actually built into the episode. He learns the lesson at the end, and I'm like, oh, come on. I'd rather have a cartoon where they don't learn a goddamn thing. Again, going back to Family Guy, my favorite ending to a Family Guy episode is they go, well, Mr. Griffin, did you learn anything? And he's like, nope. And they go right to the credits. And I wish that would have been what they did here, but, you know, kids cartoon, I guess.
Yeah, well, there was plenty of cartoons, both in the 80s and 90s. I mean, He-Man is especially guilty of it. I just spent the last 5 years going through both He-Man and She-Ra from Filmation. And there are times where they will have a lesson in the episode and then still have the PSA. I understand for Filmation they had to do that because He-Man, at times, can be a violent cartoon. But
that, and it was like the first big toy cartoon, so yeah. They had to keep the parent teacher, whatever. They had to keep those people happy.
Yeah, exactly. What would you rate Subterranean?
I'll give it a 2.5.
Okay. I'm going to give it a 3. It's just kind of there for me. It's not bad. It's not god-awful. There isn't something, you know, that makes me angry about it or anything. Up next, we've got Lovesick Sonic. When Sonic saves a female hedgehog named Breezy, he falls in love. Sonic does not know that Breezy is a robot Dr. Robotnik created to keep Sonic occupied while he floods a city near his fortress. The Sonic Says segment was all about sexual harassment.
That was weird.
Yeah, that was really weird.
Like, why is Sonic talking about sexual harassment?
Uh-huh.
Sexual harassment, hedgehog.
God, no, don't ever do that again. Oh my god, dude. Oh lord, please make it stop. I don't know why I wrote that, but there was something in the... Oh, it's probably because of Breezy. Now, as much as I love Venus Turzo and her voice acting on all that, but, yeah, this one was really, really ass backwards. And for me, I was writing something or I was doing something else when I started this episode. So when I heard the voice for Breezy, I didn't actually see her. I thought it was the chick that comes in later. Isn't there another one that comes... not Amy. What's the other one? The bat character. The female bat character. Who the hell is that? God.
Rouge the Bat?
Yes.
God damn it. Why do I know all these Sonic characters?
Because you secretly love Sonic.
Knuckles was the last character I cared about.
Yeah, at first I thought it was Rouge. Obviously, it's not. It's Breezy. Cannibals, you say? Judge Dredd can help you with that, Sonic. Mm. I'm sorry. Every time Cannibals comes up in anything, the first thing I think of is... I don't want to say poor, but I'm going to. Poor Rob Schneider's character in Judge Dredd and finally coming to the realization that he's surrounded by people who want to eat him. God. Lovesick Sonic. This is just crazy. This almost reminds me of it's one of the Chuck Jones ones. It's where he throws the potion and it turns Hazel into the bunny at the end, and
yeah,
that's almost what this reminds me of with Sonic and Breezy, because she's telling him to do everything and sending him everywhere to make him tired, obviously. But I like this. It's interesting. It's not one of the better ones. It's not one of the middle ground ones. It's just kind of there. It's them kind of having a, like I said, a commentary on, you know, love. And all the gross, mushy stuff that goes along with that. What did you think of Lovesick Sonic?
Yeah, it was not one of the better ones. But it's also one of those that, again, it kind of reminds me of a Warner Brothers cartoon. Mm-hmm. Just in the way that they had all the Rube Goldberg device jokes at the end, where they have all these traps with which to catch Sonic, and they're all ridiculous. You know, they got the treadmill that builds up static electricity so they can capture him with a magnet for some reason.
Yeah, it's a little crazy.
A couple other ones like you know, dropping a tree on him or like some other thing that comes down and smashes him or something. And it's just all silly. And then the ending is Breezy's evil, but Sonic melts her heart anyway with a stupid poem. And it had to be like a bad poem too, which I love.
You know what would have been worse for this cartoon? If he melted her heart with a single fucking tear. Because we all know, you go back to the Filmation days, and that's what usually ended up melting everybody's heart, is either He-Man, Teela, Man-at-Arms, Sorceress, She-Ra, even Hordak a couple of times, Skeletor, even though he doesn't have any eyeballs. Anytime anybody has a single fucking tear running down their face. Oh my god.
I am not good, I am not nice, and I am not wonderful.
I like being evil.
Christmas only comes once a year, Skeletor. Ah, thank goodness.
Oh, crap, that's funny. God. Yeah, Lovesick Sonic. I'm probably going to give it a 2. What about you?
Yeah, I'll give it a 2.
Yeah. All right, up next we've got Slow Going. This might be the first episode that I almost give a 0 to.
Why would you do that?
Because these sloths are more annoying than the sloth in Zootopia. So, Slow Going. Sonic must save a family of sloths from Dr. Robotnik's slow motion ray. But when he himself is slowed down by Scratch and Grounder, Tails and the sloth family must take action. Dun, dun, dun. Okay, Dr. Robotnik, why would you build something that turns Sonic slow, at the same time turns the sloth family fast?
Well, it only did that because it broke.
It broke, but still... At least it just wasn't a... I'm glad it just kind of... It broke instead of it just having a switch, you know?
Yeah, because that's always, like, the dumbest thing. When they put the switch on for no apparent reason, it's like, why would you have a reverse switch?
Yeah.
Or like, that one episode of Silverhawks where they put the battery in the machine backwards. And it did the opposite.
Oh, my God. That's... Oh, my God, that's hilarious. Oh, my God, yeah, no. I had a tough time with this episode because it was so slow. Oh, my God. I don't know. What else did you like or not like about this?
Well, Scratch and Grounder were in it. That's something.
That's something.
I don't know. I think, you know, there's a Strong Bad email that kind of makes fun of this sort of device. Not this episode specifically, but they had an email where it was like what's the most boring day? And it's just all the Homestar Runner characters just doing boring things and talking very slow because we're bored. And it's like long pans and just... staring at nothing, and that's kind of what this episode was like.
Yeah, I would rather watch the Thundercats episode from 85 where it was them versus the Brute Men, because the Brute Men were stupid and slow, and that was their general nature, and Slythe used warp gas on them to make them aggressive. I would rather watch that than watch this again. But you're right, Scratch and Grounder are there, so that's kind of funny. So I'll give it a 0.5. It's the best I can do.
I'll give it a 1.
Okay.
Oh, God. It's hilarious. Finally, we have High Stakes Sonic.
Sonic and Tails infiltrate Robotnik's new casino night zone to stop him and his henchmen from scamming a group of sheep into becoming Robotnik slaves.
And the Sonic Says segment was about dares.
Dare to stop drugs and violence.
Dare. Dare to believe you can't survive.
Oh, God.
It
no.
had to happen at some point.
Oh, my God. Why settle for a peak, Daniel, when you can see everything from Lookout Mountain?
It has to happen once an episode. It's a tradition now.
Apparently it is. Now I'm going to have to find reasons for it at this point. oh, my God. Yeah, this episode was kind of fun because I was not expecting them to bring in Casino Night Zone.
They said it a lot, too. It's like, I'm making a Casino Night Zone. Mm-hmm. Casino Night Zone is a place that I'm making. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't we go to Casino Night Zone? They said it like a dozen times, it seemed like.
Yeah, they did. Absolutely. I did very much enjoy this, though. I thought it was fun. I thought it was interesting. And the fact that, you know, again, social commentary in cartoons, folks, they're basically saying people that go to casinos are sheep.
Yeah, they are. But they also kind of a weird message where they're like, oh, no, this casino is doing exactly what every casino does, which is all the games are rigged so that the house usually wins, which is normal. I don't know if anyone at Deke had ever been to Vegas, but you know, you're kind of rigged to lose. Everyone knows this.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, you are.
But there is the slavery part, so I guess, you know.
Yeah.
It does bring in the evil there, so.
Oh. You know the slavery character, the slave master guy in this reminds me of Ralphish Ralph. From the Berenstain Bears.
Oh my God.
It's not often you can get a Transformers reference and a Berenstain Bears reference in one podcast, folks.
And it is the Berenstain Bears.
Yes. Why? What do most people say it is?
A lot of people think it's the Berenstain Bears. And no, there it's are people not. A lot of people have this false memory. They're like, I could swear up and down that it was the Berenstain Bears. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where it comes from. There was a whole Angry Video Game Nerd episode about it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but anyway.
Anyway. What did you think of High Stakes?
It was okay. What I thought was funny, and I'm noticing this with Dr. Robotnik, is that they really accentuate his fat. They show his butt a lot, but I really thought it was funny when he was, like, lounging nearly naked in the desert. He had like a diamond in his navel, and
yeah, that was a little weird. That was a little strange, and yeah, I'm not too keen on them with the whole fat shaming of Robotnik throughout this cartoon. At this,
they're not really fat shaming. They're showing,
yeah,
they're showing his butt a lot, and you know, just being funny with it.
Yeah, just wait until next. Is it the next episode or the one? Next week, folks. Episode 81. Mama Robotnik comes to town.
Oh God!
What are you gonna give High Stakes?
I'll give it a 2.5.
All right, I'm gonna give it a 3. It's just middle of the road. I like the fact that they reference Casino Night Zone, even though they said it too many damn times. Mm-hmm. And I think the episode is fun. It might be one that I go back to, not very often, but it might be one that if I'm going to watch this cartoon, that might be one to this point that I would rewatch. We are going to take a quick break and come back with closing of the show after this.
Decian, the superhero webcomic. Decian's got superhero antics and sexy girls. For action, comedy, mayhem, and more, read it now at Decian.com. DASIEN.com.
Kid?
Yes?
Shut up.
Beyond the Night is the GCRN's latest review podcast. We are covering everything in the Knight Rider television universe. From the classic 80s TV series to the 1991 reunion film,
Team Knight Rider, and the 2008 relaunched series as well. So join TFG and Mike and Dion the Music Man as they go in-depth in Beyond the Knight, only on Geekcast Radio Network. You can find Beyond the Knight in iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com.
Get.
Yes, Michael.
Just keep driving.
It's Showtime Synergy. The latest review podcast from the Geekcast Radio Network is here. So join TFG1 Mike, Nicole Hailstorm, and myself, Lady Rec, as we will be reviewing all 65 episodes of Joe and the Holograms in a 25-episode-long podcast. You can find Showtime Synergy on iTunes and GeekCastRadio.com. We are the truly outrageous podcast that you want to be listening to.
We are back here on Pixels in the Animation, episode 80. That's going to do it for us today. The first five or six episodes of Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog, it's okay. I hope the animation gets a little better, and I think it will. And really, for me, it's really, and I know I'm nitpicking at it, but it's just when he is running that just... When they show him as a side-scroller running and we see his feet moving, the animation, I don't know if it's moving too not fast enough or if it's moving too fast or if they, you know, flip the frame or what they did, but it just looks freaking weird to me.
Right.
All right, so thank you for joining us here on Pixels in the Animation. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can also head on over to Decian.com to check out Neil's webcomic. Send us email feedback at GeekCastRadio.com. Follow us on Twitter. I am at TFG1Mike. You can follow at GeekCastRadio for the network updates. What is your Twitter?
P. Lynn Bailey.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to Facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. You can also check out Neil over there. It's a Zooming Hipster or something.
Raving Hipster. Just Raving. Look for TV's Mr. Neil on Facebook. You'll find it.
Yeah, you'll find it. Join us next time when we'll be talking about more episodes of Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog here on Pixels in the Animation.
Kids, there's nothing more cool than being hugged by someone you like. But if someone tries to touch you in a place or in a way that makes you feel uncomfortable, that's no good. It's your body. No one has the right to touch you if you don't want them to. So what do? First, you say no. Then, you get out of there. Most important, you gotta tell someone you trust. Like your parents, your teacher, a police officer.